It's time for another Castle Country Focus interview on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm Dave Hokanson. Joining me today over the telephone, I have the director of the Division of Water Resources for the state of Utah, Candace Hassenjaeger. We're going to talk about coming out, you know, we're through the spring summer season. How is our outlook looking for water, and what did this drought really do to the state of Utah, and what some of the things that we can do to kind of ease it going into next year as well? Candace, thank you so much for taking out the time and joining us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Dave.
So I guess the first question is, let's let the folks know, what do you guys do up there at the Division of Water Resources?
Yeah, so we are a planning agency. Our mission is to plan, conserve, develop, and protect Utah's water resources. So we work with local water suppliers and water districts on, you know, our plans for the state. And part of that is the drought response plan. So we've been involved heavily over the last, you know, year on our drought conditions.
And, you know, as we get through now and we're headed into the fall and the winter months, and it's kind of a hopeful time of year, I guess we'll put it, as far as the water situation goes. Just how bad is the drought that we're in right now?
2021 set all the wrong records. We had record low stream flows. Our reservoirs are at really critically low elevations. We had record dry soils going into the spring, and it was just hot and dry all over until about July, into July, beginning of August, when there was, you know, a flip that switched and we got the return of the monsoon rains, which were good in some ways. We wish they wouldn't have been as flashy and caused as much damage as they did do. You know, they've been absent the last couple of years, and that's really what caused our record dry soils going into last fall.
And I'm gonna ask this because people have talked about it when I've had them on the show, and we've talked about this in the past. One of the more important things about monsoon rains is that, you know, the ground soaks that up, and that makes for better runoff come next spring. Is that really one of the main important aspects of monsoons?
Yeah, that is spot on. But, you know, our soils, I kind of think of them like a sponge, right? So when they get rain and they absorb some of that water, when the runoff happens in the springtime, when that snow melts, it kind of travels over those soils compared to like a dry sponge, like it was going into this spring. It just soaked up all the water, so we received very little runoff. So that's a critical part of the monsoon rains. And I would also mention that it helps to reduce demand because most people turn off their sprinklers or aren't using water outside as much. So while they don't refill our reservoirs, they do those two critical things.
And we, you know, speaking of turning off sprinklers and things like that, that was some of the ways that people did different things to kind of slow down the usage of water. How did we do this summer, and did they make a difference with water saving efforts?
It did make a difference. You know, across the state, you know, there was about a 20% reduction in water that was delivered. And every drop that counts in that. We were able to save that water in our reservoirs, you know, longer. There were some areas that had local issues with their water supplies, and they worked with the Division of Drinking Water to work through those issues, and there are other water suppliers in their area. But overall, we made it, and, you know, our reservoirs operated just like they should have, right? They take that water during wet years, they store it, and it holds it over for those dry years like this year. And now we need a big winter to get us through.
And I guess that kind of leads into my next question. Did the efforts that we did, was it enough?
You know, we definitely got through this year, and we'll have enough drinking water. There's no concerns about drinking water through the winter and into next year. The part where we're a little nervous about is, you know, what's going to happen this winter and how much, you know, rain and snow are we going to get, and how will our reservoirs recover? So we did make it through, and we're looking to next year on how that will impact our reservoir levels.
And we really won't know until we see snowpack and things from this year. Now, speaking of, that's what we did this last spring and summer. What are the things that we can do in the fall and the winter to save water?
Yeah, so, you know, as we kind of travel indoors and we're spending more time in our houses, the three biggest kind of water users in the house are toilets, washing machines, and showers. So one of the things that people can do is just look potentially if they have an older toilet that's not a high-efficiency toilet to get install a new toilet. There are rebates available for those. You can also, with your washing machine, wait till you have, you know, a full load of laundry before doing that, looking at upgrading to a more high-efficient washing machine. And showers, I know we all love our showers, especially in the winter when it's cold outside. We want to take a long, hot shower, but, you know, trying to have shorter showers saves a lot of water, too. And one other one I'll throw out there is just leaks. Leaks account for about 12% of our indoor water use. So when you see a leak, get it fixed, and that'll help to save water.
So maybe go through the house and listen for that running toilet or a leaky faucet or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Fix it while you can right now. So what is going to be, I mean, other than conservation, because that I don't think would be enough. What are some of the, what is going to be one of the main things to get us out of this?
Yeah, like we talked about earlier, we need a big winter, about 150% of average over the next, you know, 6 to 7 months. And then with the great monsoons and the rain that we are receiving, even today and into next week, there's some snow in the forecast. That's going to help refill our soil moisture. It's about average right now. And then it's going to freeze, and then hopefully that'll be a good mechanism to get some good runoff next year.
And that's how it all starts. So one of the last the last question that I've got for you is, we hear all the time about how people are moving to Utah, and Utah is this state where people want to live and everything. Can we continue to grow and have enough water, I guess, is the main question.
Yeah, so this drought that we're in is more intense than any recorded drought in the past, you know, decades, pretty much the worst in our lifetimes. It has been an extreme situation. And that being said, we really need to reevaluate how we grow. I think we can grow if we grow water-wise. So that's looking at, you know, what type of housing are we putting in? Are we putting in all residential or single-family or multifamily homes? What is our landscaping? Is it water-wise or is it a more traditional turf that uses a lot of water? So what kind of the rule of thumb is, if the only time you walk on your grass is to mow it, then you might want to consider putting in a more water-wise landscaping. There's also some great water-wise turf feeds available that Utah State University has done some great research there. So as long as we grow water-wise, we can continue to grow.
All right. Now I'm going to ask, do you guys have like tips and things like that on your website, and how can people find them?
Yeah, go to slowtheflow.org. There's great tips and information there. It also links you to other resources like rebates for toilets or smart control timers. And there's also a link to Localscapes, which is a Utah-specific kind of water-wise landscaping design and pattern that people can implement. That's got great information and classes and coursework. So.
All right. And what I've said, you know, we got into this together. We'll get out of this together and everything will be all right. Candace, thank you so much for taking out the time to talk to us today. We really appreciate it. And you know what? We're going to let you get back to it and keep doing what you guys do up there.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And thanks to all your listeners.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for taking the time. We've been speaking with Candace Hassenjaeger, the director of the Division of Water Resources for the state of Utah. Now, for more information on interviews like this one, you can always check out our website, castlecountryradio.com, and listen for Castle Country Focus on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.